It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world, with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. Well, we already know what's going on. It's the 21st of July, 2020. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your host, Steve Johann, the producer, joining millions, well, maybe six listeners. This is the 146th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And as usual, we are still on iTunes. We're on iHeart Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Podomatic.com, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Podbay, Cashbox. We're on all of those things and a bunch more, too, probably. Steve just hasn't found them all yet. But people keep sending us emails with, hey, I'm listening to you on Gazornenplatt. And it's great. We love to hear it.
Yes.
You guys are liking and following our Facebook pages. We thank you for that. What was that? No, what do you mean nothing?
I've never heard of Gazornenplatt.
I made it up.
He just makes it up.
It just comes out.
That's why I haven't heard of it.
No idea what it is. It just flows
Brady
out.
Is the master of words.
Plots and schutz and
Schutzenplatz.
Sounds like a beer.
Schutzenladders.
I think you just named the next beer.
I did. So our first segment, as usual, is back to the blacktop. But today we're not doing that. Wait, yes, we are. Steve has automotive news and information that he's garnered from various sources, including but not limited to Hemmings Motor News.
Ooh.
What do you got?
Well, nothing from Hemmings this week.
See,
but
that make me look stupid.
Usually nobody can make you look stupid.
I can do that all by myself. I need no help whatsoever.
Yes, yes. Well, big news from all the Ford Bronco fans. It is now available.
Yes.
And what's really cool about it is it's coming in. Have you seen the retro two-door version now? It looks almost like the original.
Yeah, there's pictures all over Facebook. Pretty slick.
Two-door, four-door, and, of course, their little SUV version. But what I like about it is it's literally you could park the two next to each other. These things have some big meats on them. I mean, they're road-ready compared to the original 60s. They were little skinny tires. Remember all those
things
that came out?
Well, but tire technology has come a long ways, and we know that the
4-inch wide tire.
The bigger footprint, the better traction. It's just pretty obvious.
But I was talking to my brother-in-law this last weekend. We were down seeing my wife's folks helping out their house, and he's got a Pilot, Honda Pilot, and he's kind of jacked it up about 3 inches, and he put some off-road tires on it finally. Now you have to remember he's a search and rescue guy.
Okay.
So he has a dog.
Makes sense.
He goes out. As a matter of fact, he was part of the crew that found the bodies at Oso. So that screwed his brain up for a while.
Well, yeah,
hero.
I would.
It would screw my brain up. So anyways, he's a great guy. He's out there saving people, helping them out, and he wanted a rig that he could camp in, have his dog in, and he's got it all outfitted with extra batteries and everything.
For that. They're one of the most popular of the SOVs.
But his goal is to add another 3 inches, so he's going
to
go have that done so he can
to
have
the
a
height,
little more.
You mean?
Body
yeah.
lift?
Yeah.
Oh,
body lift or suspension?
Suspension, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
But he said now that he's got the new meats on there, it doesn't get near as good a gas mileage. You go, no, those big tires. Yeah. Chew up the economy very fast.
The bigger the footprint, the slower the mileage.
That's right. So then another noticeable entry is the brand new, I'll get this, the Mustang E, the Mach-E GT, which is producing 459 horsepower, should be in showrooms coming sometime before the end of 2020.
And I'll bet you that they will not take a $100 deposit to hold one of those like they're doing with the Broncos.
I think you're right. You're right. It's a $100 deposit if you want the Bronco because you have to pre-order them.
And $29,995 MSRP for the Broncos, and I bet you that Mustang is more than that.
Well,
try three times that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now, here's a very interesting thing. As a way to mark the new E Mustang, they have, now get this, the Mach-E 1400 prototype, which will punch out at peak 1,400 horsepower, one-of-a-kind prototype track car, all electric. And according to Von Gittin, who's a professional racer, getting behind the wheel of this car has completely changed his perspective on what power and torque can be.
I'm sure of it.
Kind of like driving a magnetic roller coaster. So,
well, that's the neat thing and the silly thing about electric vehicles anyway. They're all torque. There's no rollback. It's you hit it and it's just it.
Instantaneous.
Whatever amount of power you have in the battery, that's going to translate directly to the wheels.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. The Teslas are not slouches when it comes to acceleration.
Oh, no. I wouldn't mind getting that crate motor, put it in like an old 65 Impala or something like that.
E-crate motor,
1,400 pounds. slap that in a in an old Impala.
I bet you won't get one of those for $1,800.
No, I don't think so. Gosh, I don't think I could get an engine for $1,800.
Well, you could, sure.
Oh, my buddy's telling me my 396 is going to cost me a lot of money to restore.
Oh, well, it depends on what you want to do with it. Sure, yeah, you want to blueprint it and get it back to stock.
Yes, I do.
Sure, it's
going
to be that.
Well, speaking of horsepower, GMC has now come out with their special vehicle, SVE, Special Vehicle Engineering Division, has rolled out its 2021 Yanco SC Silverado truck, limited production truck. The super truck is powered by an 800 horsepower 378 CID supercharged LT1 based engine.
Now wait a minute. You said super truck. Is that just a term, or is that their name?
It's their name. They're putting in their super truck.
You know, Silverado. You realize that back in 1977, Toyota marketed the first super truck. The super truck by Toyota, and it was a big deal at the time.
Yes,
but it wasn't anything like super. It just happened to be that that's what they were calling.
Well, okay,
it was a crew cab.
It's in their description, so it may just be the description, like supercar. No, it's not. So
okay.
I just noticed.
Okay.
So it could be like supercar, super truck.
It's just
it's putting out 800 horsepower.
That's a lot of horses.
Yeah,
that is. Now, wasn't Dodge like the first guys to come out with their big V10 Viper motor that was in the...
Well, yeah, the V10 was a
and
Viper.
And they put that in their pickup trucks and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a beast.
Ford had a V10 too, didn't they, Ford?
Oh, now that's... I don't remember that Ford did have a V10. Cummins, of course, makes, you know, diesels,
right.
But I'm not aware that Ford... Maybe they did, I just didn't know.
Well, now... Keeping up with what's
going
on.
You're the Ford guy. You should know this.
No,
yes,
you should.
I'm a Chevy guy.
Nothing new.
Wait. What kind of car is your hot rod?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's a hot rod.
Precisely.
But what year is that?
No,
it's
1931.
It's
a 31 Ford, but I'm pretty sure it's
1970.
Got a 350.
350 yeah. Out of a truck, yeah, 4-bolt main.
There you go. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I got no room to talk here. I've got it all, but.
Oh, man. Well, anyway,
so. A Buick in a what?
I know, in a Jimmy. There's at least they're
what
both.
Else is it?
At least they're both.
That's why they call it a rat rod.
Yeah.
You got three different cars in there. Three different Buick.
Well, I got more than that.
I got a Dodge rear end. Chevy
of course.
Engine.
Of course.
GM transmission.
I got a Honda Passport chassis.
That's
See?
What I'm saying. And a Ford truck and a Buick engine. There you go.
No, it's a Chevy truck. Well, it's a GM truck.
Oh, it's a.
Well, let's be real.
I'm just kidding.
It's hard to keep up,
right?
It's a Chevy cab.
In one minute,
Jimmy
I just lost track
end.
Of where we were
right.
going.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who are we? What show is this?
Let me get back to the
it's
SEMA
It's a super
here.
Truck.
SEMA is on this year.
Yes, it is.
And
yes, it is.
But as part of their jump through the hoops, we must follow the rules. Everybody will wear a mask at the SEMA show.
Ron's wearing a mask right now.
Even the fact is it's at November. It's in November.
November. Why can't we go?
We should go.
I would like to go.
Let's get press credentials and go, please.
Yeah. If they freebie send us, yeah, that would be great.
I think it's $40 a ticket, but you have to have proof of being a business doing a...
We're a business
in
doing,
cars.
Doing
yeah.
car stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't made any money, but I'm a business.
I'll buy my own ticket.
That's right.
But it's the airfare in the hotel.
I have airfare because... Viva Las Vegas was canceled, and I have two tickets to
there
Las Vegas
go,
I can't even use.
Oh.
So I could use that to go to that if I had the tickets.
There you go.
And the authority to get in, I guess
well,
you call it.
Well, let's see what we can
work
do at
awesome.
That time.
Work on that.
We will work on that. And then switching gears for a moment is the 2020 motorcycle sales have been coming in, interestingly enough, that, of course, like everything else, it plummeted. But now they're starting to see a huge increase. To the point where they're all very, very happy.
Yeah.
Off-road side of things are doing really well because when you have to do social distancing, RV and off-roading is the place to be.
Pretty antisocial out there.
Exactly right. And then, you know, the guys on the motorcycles and the gals on motorcycles, they're already kind of antisocial unless they're hog members.
Oh, come on.
Most of them want to be by themselves
well,
on
are,
their bikes.
By definition, they are.
Yes.
And they're already masked
you
up.
You would know.
And they're already masked up or helmeted up and all that kind of stuff. And they were the first to walk around with a big skull on their face. So...
I don't know about that.
I think Brady's got one of those face masks.
I have pictures, believe me.
Oh, yes.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the Windshield View, we are going to share some of the best speed and racing and build stories we know. And if we don't know them, we're going to make them up.
Count on it.
Car Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower Chrome is back with the first half of the Windshield View. Let her rip. Tater chip.
We got it. Yeah, this we thought that this week we would do a bunch of stories about, you know, kind of some tips and some observations on speed and racing and building and designing and some history, too, but just about cars in general, because it's kind of fun to do that. And I, for the first story, what I've got is we talk a lot about hot rods. Ron's got one. I'm building one. Steve's sort of got a guy who have one, although his is going to be mostly stock. But nobody really knows who first invented the term hot rod. It just sort of entered the language. But the classic definition is really simple, and Ron will appreciate this. It's a car that's been stripped down, souped up, and made to go faster.
Mm-hmm,
that's simple as it gets. Throughout the history of hot rodding, hot rods have always kind of had a way of attracting free thinkers and risk takers and people who are kind of good with a wrench and, you know, people are willing to take a chance on an idea that maybe not necessarily be mainstream. It started kind of as a cult movement all the way back in the 20s, and it flourished, of course, in Los Angeles. First, they had illegal street racing, and then moving north and west, you know, out in the Mojave Desert. People competed on the alkali, you know, dry beds out at Mirage and Muroc and everything. And when a lot of the World War II vets came home, you know, with saved up combat pay and stuff like that, new cars were in short supply because they didn't make too many during the war. So guys who wanted to go fast in a cool looking car just basically took one and built it, modified their own. The military training helped them, you know, hone their engine building skills and the fab stuff. And the advent of Hot Rod Magazine in 1950 kind of spread the gospel of speed across the country. Faster competitors established, you know, their own speed competitive equipment business, and talents began to spread out to racing of all types. And really, one of the first issues, it was an old one too, one of the first issues of Hot Rod Magazine I ever saw was the one from 1952.
Wow.
52. And
wow.
It was an old magazine. Probably
that's an old one.
Barber shop at some point. But the whole idea, what we do, this whole hobby, got started based out of, well, there's nothing new that does what I want it to do,
right.
So I'm just going to make one.
Yep.
Steve, what do you got?
Well, I want to tell a little story, and there's a lesson in this.
All right, I like
and
lessons.
And it's called The Day My Friend Decided to Hang Up Drag Racing. It all began when Mark asked me if I wanted to go to the racetrack with him and help him with it as a pit crew member. So on this beautiful sunny day, we headed to Evergreen Raceway to try out his new engine, which he had just purchased or swapped, I can't remember. Mark ran a 69 Camaro that he had purchased, purpose-built for bracket racing.
Ah, okay.
Typically running in the 11s, this day he was going to try out his brand-new Chevy Smallbach 383, a punched-up 350. I remember him saying he was a bit leery, as his typical engine was a high-revving 389 or 283 or 327. So even though he was glad to get this car back on the track, he had a little bit of something in the back of his head saying, I'm not sure if this is going to work. After arriving, we found a place
to make... You need a little of that.
Yes. After arriving, we found a place to make into a pit crew place. We unloaded the car, got to work, getting it ready for the strip, and soon we heard his name called. We headed over to the track. He parked, got it in line, and we pushed it forward until the green light came on, and well, boom, he was down there, hit it into the 11s. Great.
Nice.
Looked good, came back, and he got back to the pit, and he said, you know, the engine oil level, is the pressure's running a little low here. I'm not sure what's going on. And he idled it and was looking bad. He's going, I think we're going to just put it up on the trailer and park it. So we did. And we're hanging around, and he's going, well, let me go see what's going on. It's been a half an hour. Boom. Fired up, revved it. It's all fine. Must have been a gauge issue. Backed it down. Headed back for the second run. We're sitting there. Green light goes off. Whoop, kaboom. Halfway down the racetrack. Heck breaks loose. He made it to the end. They towed him back. We pushed it on the
trailer. Yelled at him for spreading oil on the track.
He was very pissed off.
I'm sure.
Well, on the way home, he's saying, you know, it was a guy. Somebody gave it to him. I'm going to go back to the 383. I'm going to build a V8 Vega. And then I didn't hear from him for a couple weeks. And I ran into him. He said, Steve, I'm done. I'm selling everything. He went out and bought a motorhome. He and his wife traveled the United States. And he never went back to drag racing.
Wow.
The lesson is, when you see an oil gauge going down, don't
pay attention to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad that he gave up the hobby for something like that, but I understand the frustration. I mean, you spend all your money time on something and you lunch it. It's kind of a tough one. Ron, what do you got? You got a good one?
It's not really a racing. It's my 47 Plymouth. My cousin and I and Monachi, we were going to, of course, the A&W.
Well, of course.
Don't mean to drop names, but I think we mentioned the A&W that day when we were talking about
it. We can mention it again. Greatest root beer floats on the planet. Well,
yes.
Almost.
Yes. Well,
pretty darn good.
The Team Burger, the Mama Burger.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back in the good days. Back in the good days.
The Team Burger was a big one, yeah.
So we pulled in there and see something new on the menu, and it's called boneless chicken. This is before chicken strips and all. It's the first thing I've ever seen. I've never seen boneless chicken. And I'm looking at the menu, and it's on the side of the car.
Yep.
And they roller skate your meal out to
you. Sure,
And I'm seeing it, and my cousin, he says he wants to get a Team Burger with everything on it and a chocolate shake. And I tell him that, and you're talking to a little box.
Right.
And I'm reading, I'm trying to find it on the screen, what I saw boneless chicken. I know I saw it, but I'm trying to look for it, and I go, I want a piece of... A pizza, and I'm looking all over this thing, a pizza, and my cousin's laughing his head off. I'm going, I want a pizza, and then I catch the girl in the window looking at me going, she's giving me this, like, pizza, what do you want? And I go, boneless chicken, and I lost it. He lost it, she lost it, everybody was just having a good laugh because of my dyslexia. I couldn't find that thing on there.
It's on there someplace, I know it is.
On there.
God.
So, and what's the lesson of that one, Ron?
Make sure you know where you're talking about before you try and read it.
Right.
don't get so distracted by the girl on the roller skates that you can't remember what you're ordering. Maybe that's
him laughing was not helping.
Pizza. No, of course not. No, that's
you
not,
weren't
that's
even thinking about that. You were like single-minded thinking chicken. Oh, I can't find it. Kind of like me in the video before this show.
I guess.
Yeah, so we won't share a bunch of this, but Steve had the ever-popular and famous technical issues before the show.
But he handled it. He's the master.
We're here now because he did overcome. So back to racing for a second. I got one that's kind of – this always makes me laugh when I read this story. Not laugh – because it's funny, but laugh because some people just never give up. There is no bigger name in drag racing than Don Garlitz. Everybody knows him. I mean, you know, Big Daddy, it wasn't just a thing that they said. He was the god of drag racing, you know, for a long, long time. He was the first guy to top 200 miles an hour.
He gave Shirley Boo Boo Mondaddy her first trial out there, too.
He did. Him and Connie Kalita, they were the ones. But, yeah, I mean, he was the first guy to top 250 in the quarter mile. Yep. He was always the guy to beat, and his signature hot rods were always a series of Hemi-powered dragsters. He called them all swamp rats, and he made 14 of them over the years. Now, his
purpose-built. Steve used that earlier. It's true. Slingshot dragsters, they stripped basically everything off. If you've ever seen one, you know there's nothing there but a frame and a motor and barely a seat. And it decreased elapsed times at the, you know, during the time he was doing this, and increased speeds, of course. And he got a considerable amount of attention. He won the very first NHRA safety safari meet in 1955. And he, of course, you know, continued to win U.S. fuel and gas championships, 65, 67, 71, unheard of feat, engineering, building, driving.
Yep.
He was his own mechanic, steadily advanced a series of self-designed swamp rats. And after an engine explosion in 1970 cost him part of his foot,
mm-hmm.
it blew up right in front of him, and that, you know, was the end of that. He designed the last of the swamp rats, Swamp Rat 14. It was a rear engine car.
Yep.
And it became the model for the sport.
Yes,
He was responsible for that.
Yep.
And he set a
innovator.
Huge, a staggering series of records. Innovations, the hypoid rear end, extended wheelbase, four-disc clutch, port injection, countless titles. In 2014, he was 82.
Yep.
And he ran 184 miles an hour in a battery-powered dragster.
Wow.
You got to love this guy. I mean, Big Daddy for a reason.
You know, if you want to search back in our past episodes, and
yep.
we did a full-on interview with the Big Daddy himself.
Oh, we did. We did.
So, man, great, cool. great interview.
You know, you
matter of fact,
you
we
can't
might need to get him
racing.
On soon.
Oh, that would be fun.
I think
we'd
it would.
Do that before
cool.
he's
get
gone.
Get him back on again.
Yeah.
You'd love to.
True. It's just truly amazing. And you can't, I mean, you can't say drag racing without saying Don Garlitz.
Well, and for our era, our age, that he was the king. He's the one that always showed up on Saturday afternoons, Wild World of Sports, and,
oh, yeah.
and all the books and
oh,
the
absolutely.
Magazines.
Oh,
and
yeah.
all that. Everybody was looking at that guy going,
and
wow.
I have a memory of the announcers. You know, they would, especially Wide World of Sports, whenever they talked about Garlitz, the voices would drop. And now.
Big Daddy.
Hey, we're going to come back with more sports and speed stories right after this. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Back in Vehicle City. Yes, we're back with the second half of the Windshield View and on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And the best speed and build stories we know. Just before the break, we were talking about, well, we had just finished off with Don Garlitz.
Yeah, and Ron and I were playing the theme song as we came through the...
I'm going to have to bring my harmonica and play along with that one.
Nice. I got three.
Or you could do it.
I got three of them in
we
the
could
car.
All take turns doing
sure.
the harmonica.
Ron will play the drums.
I got some bongos down below here. so we, yeah,
right.
I think we're going to add some things to our show as we grow here.
Dual paradiddles here.
Well, I thought I would bring in something.
Rim shot.
It's a little bit of... you know, racing was a huge part of my life growing up, but not drag racing, because I lived in Ferndale. We didn't have any drag racing strips locally. You'd have to go to Hannigan, which was a round track or that kind of thing, but no drag racing. So as kids being kids, we just drag raced on the highways, the byways, and in the middle of the city.
Yes.
Often not in a safe zone, but, you know, thank God they don't do a lot of that, although they have been doing it on my street lately. Because it's all brand new paved straight, that 36. You know what I'm talking about there. Anyways, I titled this, The Night I Saved My Life and the Life of My Best Friend.
Okay, then.
So it all begins with my buddy Bert. Bert and I were longtime friends, which began back in first grade.
Do you have another buddy named Ernie?
No.
I was going to say, but
come on, guys, let me talk. We each had September birthdays. His was about a week ahead of mine, so he got his license prior to me. I drove my folks' 71 Mazda 1800 four-door, which I later purchased from them, and I outfitted with a great stereo system. He had a 69 SS Chevelle 396 with a Muncie 4-speed. So every time we decided to hang out, we would talk over the phone and decide who would be driving that day or that night. Often or not, it came down to how much money we had.
Mm-hmm.
If we had a lot of money, we'd take his car. If we didn't, we'd take mine, because I got a lot better gas mileage. A
couple of bucks made a difference.
Bert came by the house this one evening and picked me up, and we headed to Bellingham, where we would often cruise the circuit, ending up at the Hervey's Drive-In with all the other teens at that time. Well, after hitting the circuit, we decided to take his SS and head south to cruise along Chuckanut Drive, which begins on the southwest end of Bellingham in Fairhaven. This was a dark night, probably in the winter, no rain, though, and we hit the entrance to the two-lane narrow highway and started humming along, listening to his 8-track. Well, this particular evening, Bert decides he wants to be Mario Andretti. Soon we were picking up speed, far surpassing the posted 25 to 30 mile an hour speed limits. I should stop here to tell you for a moment that and explain those who are not familiar with Chuckanut Drive. It is one of the most scenic routes one could ask for.
Very so.
It features a very winding road perched along a cliff, which affords you a great view of the Puget Sound. While on the east side, it faces the Chuckanut Mountain, featuring
solid
lots of trees.
Wall.
Yes. The highway
so it's either rocks or space.
Oh, that's right. The highway features old mortared stones and round peeled tree trunks as guardrails, and it is often voted as one of the most scenic routes. It
Beautiful.
Began its highway back in 1800s, eventually upgraded, lengthened and renamed SR-11 in 1964.
Yep.
Well, for us
Absolutely.
Guys and gals living in Ferndale, Bellingham, it was a favorite place to cruise. Well, this night, getting back to the story, Bert was intent on carving corners as one could ever be. Keep in mind, we're talking OEM 1969 technology with only upgrade as being ladder bars and 50s on the back, 60s on the front. Well, as we were carving the corners, the little yellow center lines were blurring into each other, and we were now crossing over the middle line more often than not to make those corners. When all of a sudden I yelled out, "Bert, if you don't slow down, I'm going to open the door and jump out." Fortunately for both of us, Bert snapped out of his Steve McQueen gaze and began to slow the car down to a much more reasonable pace. After a moment, he turned to me and said, "Wow, I didn't realize how fast I was going." At which point, we continued on with our cruise and had a great night, got back in one piece. So,
Chuckanut Drive is an amazing drive, and Steve is absolutely correct. But boy, when they say 25 miles an hour, they are not kidding.
That's
right. You get up past about 40, and that's a dangerous road.
Oh,
and there's no
we were doing
back.
That or more.
I'm sure. There's no coming back. If you miss it.
We would have been dead.
You're on the rocks 200 feet below.
That's right.
Wow.
Lesson is, be very careful when you're driving on those kind of roads.
Indeed. Well, I got a story. Actually, I think Ron will probably like this, especially because I don't know if you guys can see Ron's
yours
shirt.
Yours too, Steve.
Ron has a Rat Fink shirt on tonight.
I love that shirt.
It's a lovely shirt.
It's Rat
and
Fink.
If you
shirt.
Grew up,
I joined their club.
Yeah, if you grew
year.
Up as a car enthusiast in the 50s or 60s, there was no way to miss Ed Roth. There was no way to miss him. His stuff, he custom designed and built cars in a way that hadn't been done up to that point. He started a lot of major car shows, California, nationwide. And if you grew up at that time and you had anything to do with cars, you probably owned something with his logo, a T-shirt, a keychain, a model car, even a wastebasket.
Tattoo.
Something had Roth in there. So across the world of kind of hot rodding and customizing, it's pretty hard to classify Roth because he just never did stuff the way you thought he should. He was, first and foremost, he was an artist and a sculptor. And so he would
bring in stuff like plaster of Paris and vermiculite and fiberglass. He'd build cars so he could kind of make shapes and concepts that nobody had ever thought of putting on wheels before. He made a bubble top car, which I can't remember the name of, but everybody's ever seen a custom car.
Oh, I know which one it is, yes.
He made that sheet of plastic for the top by putting a flat sheet of plastic in a pizza oven.
Yep.
And
he used the pizza oven to screen his T-shirts as well.
Yeah, and I mean, he was more interested in making rolling art statements than he was about mechanical function, although he made a whole bunch of cars that were pretty bizarre that actually worked. He did the Druid Princess, which was a kind of a royal carriage that was originally designed for the Addams Family TV show, but they used a different car. He had a coffin in the back that had it was a gas tank and the battery box. He made a thing called Yellow Fang, which was really cool, and of course Mysterion.
I have the Mysterion, I think, as a model.
It could. Oh yeah, Revell and
yeah, I have the model.
They made lots of models. Tom Wolfe, the guy who wrote Bonfire of the Vanities and the Candy Colored Tangerine Flake Streamlined Baby, he was a big student of the car culture, you know, in Los Angeles. And in '65, he called Roth's creations pure art. He said he was the Salvador Dali of hot rodding. And you know, you cannot, if you're not familiar, I don't know why you're listening to this show, because everybody should know who Ed Roth is, but if you haven't, just Google Ed Roth and go to images.
Oh yeah.
And it is just an amazing trip down the world of custom cars. He had nothing holding him back. He made whatever.
He was a true beatnik. I mean,
he
did the Beatnik Bandit, as a matter of fact.
He did, which is one of
my first models.
Yeah, one of his great cars, absolutely.
Yep.
It was looking at his models that convinced me that you could actually build a model car and not use all the parts in the kit, and you could cut them up and do something else with them. It's kind of like, oh, this is really very freeing. I can make whatever I want.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. And we kind of owe him a debt because, frankly, every rat rod,
he's
hot rod, custom piece. I mean, he was the guy
that you went
after. I thought you would enjoy that
Thank
story.
You.
And he was also an artist, so he did all the artwork.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
did
a ton of that
the
stuff.
Collector cards that were really big, and the bubblegum cards with all the big shifter. I was an artist as a kid, and I used to take those little pictures of the big monster sticking out of and I created my own, then I transferred it on a black onto a T-shirt, and made my own shirts back in the day.
Ron, you got a story?
I just remember watching Leave It to Beaver, and they had one of the episodes, and the Beaver was walking by one of the shopping centers, and there's these two monster T-shirts, and they're Ed Roth creations in the window there.
Wow,
the monsters on the T-shirt. I think he was one of the first innovators of putting drawings and art on T-shirts.
On T-shirts,
Started that whole craze in the beginning.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know that. And have it on Leave It to Beaver, but, you know, midstream, you know, Americana, and here's Ed Roth. That's kind of cool. What do you got?
Well, I...
Steve's got another one, I know.
Well, I got a technical bit of advice. My first engine rebuilder was with my dad. I had the Mazda 1800, 71. And it had a really nice engine, but it was, we decided we wanted to rebuild it.
Yeah.
So we took it apart, honed it, put all new rings and everything, got it all back together, ran great. But then it was running a little warm, and we were thinking, well, more compression, okay, maybe that's what's causing it. And I'd run it around town, and about a month later, it's still running a little warm, but we're thinking, well, I don't know. And by that time, school graduated, and I headed down to Phoenix to go to school, and I was driving this thing down. I got to Yreka, California, and the thing...
Oh, no.
So I basically coasted all the way down, pulled in, went to the gas station. They go, well, it could be anything, blah, blah, blah. We'll take a look at it, and I stayed overnight at a motel. And then the next day, we can't do anything, but there's a guy out there that does foreign cars, so I limped it out there.
He works on them there foreign cars.
And he takes a look at it. Oh, it's probably a head. He probably warped the head, and blah, 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 and I'll have to order it up. Well, I'm sitting there. I'm staying some time with this motel, and next to it is a guy with a radiator shop. So I get to talk with him and tell him what's going on. He goes, oh, okay. I says, well, I got to go, so I got a bus, went all the way down to Phoenix, started school. A month later, I get a call. It's all ready. Flew back up and then took a bus back up.
Wow.
And then got in the car, and it's fired up. And I stopped to talk to the guy with the radiator shop, and he says, you know, they did all that work, but I went over there, grabbed the radiator, brought it to my shop, and it was loaded with rust.
Yep.
I rotted the thing out.
There you go.
And cleaned it up, and I'm like, that's all it was. Well, funny enough, several years later, I'm in Linwood living here, and a friend of mine's building a little Toyota, and he just did the engine, and he's having the same problem. I said,
"Look
Pat,
at the radiator.
Did you do anything with the radiator?" No. Go have it rotted out. Week later, Steve, it works great. Got it all rotted out. So I saved him a lot of grief.
Just make sure that it's not something simple before you start rebuilding a motor. Well, I got one that actually I'm doing for my wife. My wife, Georgia, is Greek, and she has absolutely no fear meeting new people. And the very term custom car may very well owe its existence to one of the classic innovators in that particular field. That's George Barris. Now, George Barris, of course, you know, he built the Batmobile and a bunch of other, you know, huge stuff. George was Greek, and my wife met him when she was living in California. And he, once they discovered...
I had no idea he was Greek.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Barris. Once they realized each other was Greek, there's this thing that happens when you're
I'm
Greek.
Sure.
Yeah, and so he said, if you're ever here, come by the house. You can have my wife. We'll make lunch, blah, blah, blah.
Had your wife?
Yeah. So anyway, one of his most famous cars, everybody picks the Batmobile, but it's really not the one. In 1951, one of his customers came to him. The guy's name was Robert Hirohata. And George and his brother Sam had a custom shop there, and they started with a 1951 Mercury Coupe, and they chopped the top. They took all the removable side posts, the top. They blended them all into areas of the vehicle, the unique curved hand-formed frames, all built
steel,
all the hides.
Too.
Yeah, all the side glass was custom. Slanted the top. Chopping the top on a 51 Merc is no easy task. It's got a canted back glass V-button. You know I'm talking about the Hirohata Merc. And it is an iconic piece. I mean, everybody who ever had a 50, 51, 52 Merc would want that car. That's what it's set the tone. Now, the thing that I like about it, obviously, it's still around.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the ownership of a particular guy. But all of this stuff that they did, the scoops that lead into the rear fender skirts are actually functional. They do, you know, cool the rear brakes. The grill shell was molded. There's a floating centerpiece on the thing. I mean, every piece of this thing was just amazingly perfect. It's the only word you can use. It's just perfect. All the doors, all the hood, trunk corners, all that were rounded. The interior was stitched and tuck and rolled, monogahyde and everything. Now, here's the thing that kills me. Not long after Hirohata had that car, he sold it. It's gone through about seven owners. And the first time he sold it in 1959, how much do you think it sold for?
I'm going to guess $3,000.
Well, how much did he buy it for?
That's not the point. He had it made, but he's
I don't know.
The Hirohata Merc. Now, this is an iconic piece of work, right? In 1959, that car sold for $500.
Oh my gosh.
$500. Now, 1959.
Wow. Yeah.
That was a new car.
Yeah.
You know, in those times, $500, okay? Now, it's gone through several owners. It is in the hands of a single collector now. And when I say collector, you understand what happens over the years.
Oh, yeah.
It's still...
One collector to the next to
millions.
The next.
Yeah. The guy who owns it now said he will never sell it. It's going to go, you know, when he dies, somebody will get the chance. But the last valuation of that car was just under $1 million.
Wow.
That sold for $500 at one time.
Wow.
And it's been, you know, when Georgia and I got together, and I'm doing this story for her because she's a big fan of George Barris. Apparently, he was a very nice guy.
Yep.
And she always said when we were first going out, she said, well, yeah, we got to go to California because we can go to George Barris's place. And I went, yeah, let's do that. And we never did, and he's gone.
I've had several people that I've met and said, I'm going to go, and I didn't, and then they pass.
Do you know how many models that there are of the Hirohata Merc? Just Revell and what's the other model maker? You know who I'm talking about.
AMT, right? There's
AMT,
another
one,
AMT.
Yeah. There are at least seven different models of that
car
just because it's that iconic.
Now,
it just amazes me.
Now, what's interesting is, I was talking to my sons about this and somebody else, and we were talking over the weekend, actually, their cousin and everything. We were talking about valuations and antiques and stuff.
Yeah.
And I watched the Antique Roadshow and how they'll show an old one, and then they go, boom, and then things go down in value. And I said, amongst car owners, once a certain generation passes, the next one may not be as interested. And that's where you see downing of values of certain vehicles. Because
sometimes. And styles come and
go. And styles come and go, too.
Yeah.
And
right
what's attracted to...
Right now, the prices of hot rods and customs are through the roof.
Well, they are, and yeah. and gas is cheap.
We're enjoying a renaissance. It's true.
It's just amazing. But you know, the fact is,
hey,
one man's treasure is another man's junk. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more of the show and a really cool story from the old. Well, we got something special this horse on the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted.
I realized
he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
Welcome back to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. It's time for Car Confidential, brought to you by the Rat Bastards Car Club.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
As well it should be. We got a special kind of story. Lots of times we do either Old Car Nut Book or something from Lance Lambert's, but this time, since we're talking speed stories, I thought I would bring this one in. Now, this has been around for a while. It's not a new story, but if you haven't heard it, it is worth the listen. And it's also good even if you have heard it, because it's just that gutsy.
Cool.
This is what happens during a Top Fuel dragster's run. Now, people say, well, those engines don't last very long, and they don't. And here's why. Stay with us. Now, even if you're not a car nut, this is absolutely stunning. One Top Fuel dragster outfitted with a 500 cubic inch replica Dodge, actually like a Keith Black or something like that, it makes more horsepower at 8 to 10,000 than the first four rows of cars at NASCAR's Daytona 500. Okay, under full throttle, a dragster engine will consume 11.2 gallons of nitromethane per second.
Wow.
A fully loaded Boeing 747 consumes jet fuel at that same rate, but it has 25% less energy being produced. A Dodge Hemi V8, stock one, can't even produce enough power to drive the dragster's supercharger. With 3,000 cubic feet of air being rammed into the supercharger on overdrive, the fuel mixture is compressed nearly solid before ignition. Cylinders run on the verge of hydraulic lockup through the entire run at full throttle. The metric, the fuel metric of 1.7 to 1 air fuel mixture for nitromethane, the flame front temperature while they're doing that is 7,050 degrees Fahrenheit. Nitromethane burns yellow. So when you watch at night, the spectacular white flames that you can see above the stacks, that's raw burning hydrogen disassociated from the atmospheric water vapor by the exhaust gases being that hot. Dual magnetos for each spark plug. 44 amps to each plug. That's about the output of a small arc welder
Wow.
to each cylinder. Spark plug electrodes are totally consumed during a pass. There's
every
nothing left.
Time, yep.
And about halfway through the run, the engine is basically dieseling from compression and the glow of the exhaust valves at 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. The engine can't be shut down at that point unless you shut off the fuel. It's too hot. If a spark momentarily fails early in the run, and we're talking about in the first second, unburned nitro builds up in the affected cylinders, and it basically explodes with enough force to blow the cylinder heads off the block in pieces or split the block in half. Dragsters reach over 300 miles an hour before I've completed reaching this sentence.
Yep.
In order to exceed 300 miles an hour in 4 seconds, a dragster's got to accelerate over an average of over 4 G's. In order to reach 200 miles an hour well before half track, at launch, the acceleration approaches 8 G's. 8 G's.
Jeez.
Top fuel engines turn approximately 540 revolutions from light to light. 540 revolutions.
That's fast. The way they build these things,
including the burnout, the engine has to only survive 900 revolutions under load. The red line is actually pretty high. It's about 9,500. The bottom line is this. Assuming all the equipment's paid for, the pit crew's working for free, and nothing blows up, each run costs about $1,500 a second. 0 to 100 miles in 0.8 seconds. That's the first 60 feet of the run. 0 to 200 miles an hour in 2 seconds. That's the first 350 feet of the run. 6 to 8 G forces at the starting line. Nothing accelerates faster than that on land. 6 negative G's on deployment of twin chutes at 300 miles an hour. So you're basically pulled in and out of yourself. Yeah. An NHRA top fuel dragster accelerates quicker than any other land vehicle on Earth. It's quicker than a jet fighter plane. It's quicker than the space shuttle. It's quicker than snapping your fingers. 15 years ago, the top fuel dragster elapsed time record was about 4.42. That was at the quarter mile. Doug Kalita did it in 2004. That's 15 years ago. The time is now under 4 seconds as of last year. The top speed record is approaching 350 miles an hour. That's measured in the last 66 feet of the run. Now here's an update. Now they're only going 1,000 feet, of course, which is 320 feet less. They do it in 3.7 seconds or less at around 332 miles an hour. There's 10,000 horsepower with 90% nitromethane, 10% alcohol. They thought they were going too fast for the quarter mile, and that's why they shortened down the thing. Now let's put all this in perspective. Imagine this. You're driving a brand new $150,000 Lingenfelter twin turbo Corvette Z06. Over a mile up the road from you, a top fuel dragster is staged. It's ready to launch down a quarter mile strip as you go by. You got the advantage of a flying start, so you smash it. You run the vet hard on up through the gears. You're blasting across the starting line. You pass the dragster, standing still at an honest 200 miles an hour. You are flying. The tree goes green for both of you at that exact moment. The dragster departs and starts after you. Now, you're going 200. You've flamed by this guy.
Right.
You keep your foot buried in the floor, and suddenly you hear this incredibly, brutally screaming whine that sears, pummels your eardrums, and within a mere 0.3 seconds, the dragster effortlessly catches and passes you.
Yep.
He beats you to the finish line a quarter mile away from where you just passed him. Think about it. From a standing start, the dragster spotted you 200 miles an hour, and it not only caught, but it nearly blasted you off the planet when he passed you by within a mere 1,320 foot. My friends, that is acceleration.
Great story.
It is, and it's on Facebook. It's on YouTube.
Right.
I mean, you can find it. It's out there. I've read it, you know, several times over the years, and it continually amazes me because we go to the drags every year. I mean, it's a religion. This year we're not because, of course, the COVID has decided that they're going to cancel it. But, you know, 25 years I've been going to the Nationals, and it's always a thrill. It is always, you know, ground pounding. They call it that for a reason. And there's nothing else in the automotive world that's like that at all.
Well, I'm going to work on getting one of those guys that build those engines, because as I understand, they actually compress the metal and they literally twist the metal in the stranding the way they do it. They don't just cast it.
They forge it?
Oh, it's more than that. They actually push it and change the molecular structure of it. So instead of just
casting it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same way they make samurai swords.
If fold it and fold it and fold it and fold it.
Yep. Yep.
Pull it 100 times.
It's, but it's a lot higher pressure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And the whole idea
it's like extreme.
Of working just for one aspect.
That's right. Just one aspect.
You know, the automotive, you know, galaxy. All we care about is elapsed time.
That's right.
All we care about is speed. Whatever it takes to do that. And, you know, they say that 350 miles an hour is about the limit at that speed. It's not. It's not. It's just the limit with the technology we have today.
Right.
Tomorrow, somebody's going to come up with something that'll beat it. They're even talking about electric dragsters.
Oh, I'm sure.
That might have the torque to do that, which would be amazing. But, you know, the limitation may just be the human factor. I mean, if you're sitting there,
remote
pulled
control,
one direction and pulled the other direction. Yeah, but see, then it's not. Then
that's
you're not,
not
driving.
Fun, right?
Then you're not driving. Somebody's got to pilot these things. It, by itself, you could, you know, you could put a jet sled together, maybe.
Sure.
But it's not the same. You got to drive it.
You know, we got about a minute left, and I think Ron's got a quick little story that everybody's wanting to hear about.
Oh, sure,
your,
we could do that.
Your diecast.
Yeah, we were talking about Barris.
That's right. We were talking about Barris. I met George Barris at the Seattle Roadster Show in Seattle. I think it was the last one they had there.
Yeah,
and. Candy Clark and John Milner was down, not down there, but Paul LaMatte was there signing autographs. And
that's from American Graffiti.
American Graffiti, yep. And the coupe and the 55 Chevy was there also, but
right.
They weren't the ones from the movie, but they're replicas. And I was talking to George by the Batmobile and just a little conversation. And he was telling me that he was a technical advisor for the hot rods for the movie American Graffiti. And that my light went off in my head. And I had all the diecast cars from the movie at home, and I told him, well, I'll be right back. So I beat it all the way back to Gold Bar from Seattle. It's about 65 miles one way.
Yeah,
beat it back down there, and I brought him down there, and he was able to autograph all my diecasts
from
the movie.
That's the coolest thing.
That was really, and I had a box. I had a model box of the Batmobile, unassembled, and he autographed the box for me.
Wow.
That
didn't
is
even
too.
Did you get the
box.
Actresses and actor to sign it too?
I got Paul LaMatte and Candy Clark to sign the 58 and Paula and the coupe. Paula.
That's the coolest story
phenomenal.
Of the whole,
wow.
The whole show.
That is.
Well done.
Well, thanks, guys. It was a blast.
No worries. Hey, Nathan Lipinski's weekly trivia questions next. We got a peek at next week's show too, so put it in park. Stick around. We will be back.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Stack!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Hey, it's Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events and, of course, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question, which this week is even cooler than usual, and usually it's pretty cool. And, you know, the event section of the show this year has gotten really short because nobody's doing events. We were talking, Ron and I, a little bit earlier about some of the cruises that are being. A lot of people are doing these kind of organic, you know, get together at the local fast food place cruises. Yeah, locally we have several. And just a word to the wise. Ron was talking about one that was out, one of our local suburbs called Enumclaw. And, you know, they were a bunch of guys, 60 cars or so, I saw. It seems
at least.
And everybody met. It was great. But there's always a couple of guys, and there shouldn't be, who decided that burnouts and, you know, goofing around was a thing to do. And these things are not, I'm going to say, sanctioned events. It's not an actual show. It's just a group. And if you do that,
charity or a good cause.
Yeah.
For, I think it was for the Boys and Girls
Club. It wasn't something that was put on by the location or the drive-in or anything. And, you know, you do stuff like that, and the cops are going to shut us down. It's just not the way to continue to have stuff like that. So cruise, have fun, do charitable events. All of that is good. Don't be a jerk. You know, you can
well, there's
just drive
a place you can do that, but don't do it right there.
Well, don't do it at the event.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
don't
go,
do it at, unless there is a designated area.
Well, but there isn't.
But typically,
you know, these
there's
are,
not.
These are just cruises. Have fun. I mean,
speaking of cruises,
I'm
this weekend is Colmet cruise at the Lake Stevens.
Oh, the Corona cruise?
This Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Corona.
I like it. Corona. I like
pretty
it.
Pretty good.
Corona.
Yeah, it's Lake Stevens, which is just north of Seattle by about 15 miles.
Is that Saturday?
I think so.
I'll be painting the house.
24th or 25th.
Yeah.
It's for the Boys and Girls Club
right.
as well.
Yeah,
very
cool.
Yeah. So last week's question was kind of, it wasn't a big deal question, but it was kind of a fun. Antifreeze has been around for a long time. Of course, before they did that, you just put water in the radiator, and a lot of times it would freeze and blow up your radiator or something or your block. So they came up with antifreeze. Mostly it was alcohol or glycol or something like that. But it was always something you put in during the winter and then you took out. But at some point, they came up with all-weather antifreeze, and the question was who came up with it, not so much who, but when. And nobody wanted to play. I'm kind of disappointed, but the first year that all-weather antifreeze actually occurred was, where is it here? I've got it. I just had it, and I'm 1960. 1960 was all-weather antifreeze. Antifreeze existed before that, but nobody got it, so nobody gets their certificate with the coveted barn find dust on it. But that's okay. We're giving you another chance. Next week, this week's question. We're talking about racing during the show, and of course, the Grand Prix was part of my entertainment over this weekend. Sunday, Georgia and I finally watched Ford versus Ferrari, which is a wonderful movie. We also watched one of my all-time favorite racing movies, Grand Prix, with James Garner, and Yves Montand, and all those guys.
Oh.
Great movie, absolutely best opening sequence of any racing movie ever. And the Grand Prix has been around for a lot of years, and the very first one, you wouldn't expect that it would be as fast as it is today, but my question is, what was the winning speed of the very first Grand Prix?
79 miles an hour.
Easily that. You can answer if you want. Go to contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You can go to our Facebook page and answer the question there. You can send us an email or a Facebook Messenger thing or something like that. And you, too, could be the one who gets the coveted certificate of genuine horsepower chrome and rust barn find dust on which there is no patent whatever. But Ron is holding it as we speak. And there we are. Look at it. It's right there. And
There's dust
on the can as well.
And I don't even know if I'm recording the show tonight for the video.
It's all right. It's
whatever.
There anyway.
It's the podcast there.
We don't care.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of the podcast, we thank you so much for joining us. We are still in the top 10 of all of the automotive podcasts on Podomatic. We thank you for that. It's nice that we're getting emails from people who say, hey, you're on this other venue and this other thing. We're still on Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Podbay, Cashbox, all that. If you can't find us on that, you can't find us. It's fun talking shop this week. This was kind of fun.
Yep.
Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Always a pleasure.
Coming out
next week,
guys.
A great guest you won't want to miss. For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week. We're going to do it again on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.